This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Very glad to have you with us today. The president is predicting a government shutdown. A senior House Democrat is facing pressure to resign over sexual assault allegations. Meanwhile, Senate Republicans are trying to keep their heads down and stay on task because they're very close to passing a massive $1.5 trillion tax cut. Now, changes are still being made, and the Senate will then have to hash out differences with the House. But in the House, there is Republican consensus on one major proposal. Republicans, in their tax bill, want to repeal what's known as the Johnson Amendment. It goes back to 1954, and it prohibits churches and nonprofits from endorsing political candidates. The Johnson Amendment is really just one part of the social contract when it comes to religion and politics in America. Government is supposed to stay out of the church. Church is supposed to stay out of the government. But if the Johnson Amendment goes away, experts warn that tax-exempt charitable contributions to churches or other nonprofits could be used not for hospitals and for good works, but for campaign ads and opposition research. President Trump promised to repeal the Johnson Amendment just about 2 weeks after he took office.
I will get rid of and totally destroy the Johnson Amendment and allow our representatives of faith to speak freely and without fear of retribution. I will do that. Remember.
That's the president promising to totally destroy the Johnson Amendment at the National Prayer Breakfast back in February. Lori Goodstein is national religion correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. And Lori, when we talk about the Johnson Amendment, we're talking about Lyndon Johnson, who before he was president or vice president was a senator. What was the idea behind the Johnson Amendment? What was it supposed to do?
What it says is that if you are a nonprofit organization, and that includes charities, churches, also includes some hospitals and universities, you are limited from endorsing or opposing political candidates. You can't get involved in electioneering. It doesn't mean that you can't have a say on political issues or be public about where you stand on policies. It just means that you can't get involved in political campaigns. And then Senator Johnson, he introduced this because there were a couple of nonprofits that were going after him in his reelection. And this thing just walked into law. It was non-controversial. It became part of the law immediately, and it's been in place since 1954.
So, Lori, why do House Republicans want to undo this tradition now? Is it as simple as a gift to evangelicals in the GOP base who want to flex more muscle?
This is something that for about the last decade or a little bit more, certain clergy who are part of the organized, what I would call the religious right, and primarily conservative Christian clergy that are highly politicized, they have seen the Johnson Amendment as a limit on their free speech. And the truth is that it was a very weak limit. It was more of an inhibition than anything that would really have any consequences. If a minister preached in favor or opposed to a political candidate from the pulpit, there was the possibility that they could be reported to the IRS and that the IRS could investigate and potentially could take away their tax-exempt status. In reality, we know that happened only one time in all those years. So it was a very, very weak and barely enforced limitation. However, at a certain point in in the 90s and then into the 2000s, the religious right latched on to this and made it an issue. And beginning in 2008, ministers got together and said, we're going to flaunt this rule and preach from the pulpit and send the tapes to the IRS and court prosecution, court case. And the IRS never really took the bait. It never really happened. So then they latched on to changing this legally. And it has come up. It's been introduced in legislation before now, but it never really took hold until now.
The group of ministers, I think you're talking about their political action from the pulpit. It was called Pulpit Freedom Sundays, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And it was organized by the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a Christian legal organization.
And did they get the ear of President Trump when he was running for president? He very famously gave his ear to evangelical leaders when he became a Republican.
When he was beginning his campaign, he very intentionally courted Christian conservatives. And one of the issues they brought to him was the Johnson Amendment. We'd like to get rid of the Johnson Amendment. Now, in truth, this is a very widely unpopular move, even among clergy. Polls have shown that the vast majority of clergy want the Johnson Amendment to stay in place. What the Johnson Amendment does for them, it gives them cover. If someone is pressuring them to take political action or to make an endorsement of a candidate, they can say, look, I can't because of the Johnson Amendment. And it keeps their churches out of outright electioneering or getting involved in politics. And so polls have shown that even the majority of white and evangelical clergy don't want the Johnson Amendment changed. This is also very unpopular with the public. A poll released just yesterday by the University of Maryland found that nearly 80% of voters oppose the proposal that would allow churches and nonprofit organizations to endorse political candidates. So, you know, the only impetus for this is coming from a much narrower slice of the clergy.
Well, what would change in the real world if some of these ministers that you're talking about who want the Johnson Amendment repealed, ostensibly they can raise a lot of money. I'm going to guess that some of them have mega churches, not just churches. How would our politics look different, do you think, with the Johnson Amendment repealed? What kind of money are we talking about and what kind of influence?
Well, what you might begin to see is that people who now give their money to political organizations or to super PACs, and that money is taxed because those are not nonprofit organizations. If they know that a nonprofit is going to use their money for a political purpose or to get involved in a political campaign or, you know, support a candidate, they might instead give their money to that nonprofit organization. It won't be taxed. And not only that, the donors won't be revealed. So you can have all kinds of dark money flowing through nonprofits and churches. And that could change the very mission of these organizations.
Lori, could churches essentially pass the plate, as it were, or maybe more likely now, get you to PayPal them cash for a donation to the church and turn around and pour it into a candidate's campaign account? Could it be as simple as that?
Well, it can't happen now, but it could happen if the Johnson Amendment is revoked. Now, there are some limits in the way the legislation is written that says that only, you know, reasonable amounts. But the legislation doesn't make clear how this will work or what amounts we're talking about. So all bets are off.
Lori Goodstein with The New York Times. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you for having me.
Well, if House Republicans succeed in repealing the Johnson Amendment, it won't affect just religious organizations. Charities and other nonprofits are included, too, and many of them are nervous about the impact the tax overhaul could have. Ray Madoff is a law professor at Boston College and director of the Boston College Law School Forum on Philanthropy and the Public Good. Ray, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you just heard us talking about the Johnson Amendment and the possibility that it could go away. Churches and nonprofits would be able to get directly political, endorse and spend on candidates, really jump into politics. What would this do to charities, in your view?
Well, this is a big problem for charities because what this does is it leaves them vulnerable to donors who want to exert their political speech through charities. Now they'll be able to make tax-deductible contributions to charities and, in some cases, pressure the charities to get involved in politics when they would prefer to stay out of the fray.
Well, the Johnson Amendment, Ray Madoff, is just one part of the gigantic tax overhaul bill that Republicans are contemplating here. Let's step into the tax code a little bit, because that's going to have a big impact on charities as well. One of the ways that congressional Republicans are helping pay for their tax cuts in this bill is by tinkering with deductions. What are they contemplating?
Right. Well, one of the big changes that they're contemplating is to increase the standard deduction. And what this does is currently individuals are able to either itemize their deductions or take the standard deduction, which is currently around $6,000. What both the House and Senate bill does is it significantly increases the standard deduction to $12,000. And the impact of this will be to make it such that the vast majority of Americans, about 95%, will no longer itemize their deductions. If they don't itemize their deductions, they will not get any tax benefits for their charitable giving.
Well, Ray Madoff, this is a little bit confusing because for decades, the GOP argument was that government shouldn't be redistributing wealth or running social programs. That's what charities are for. Hey, go to your local community, give to a charity. You shouldn't be paying higher taxes. These policies you're describing don't seem to support that idea.
That's what makes this policy particularly disappointing. The issue of support for charities is something on which there should be support by both Republicans and Democrats. Republicans like the idea of reducing the burdens on government. Democrats like the idea of promoting the work that charities do. And together, they should both be in support of trying to protect charities. However, this tax bill does the exact opposite. It really cuts charities off at the knees. It really harms charities in fundamental ways, and it's going to significantly affect their ability to do all the things that we count on charities to do.
Well, the Senate may pass their version of the tax overhaul this week, but there's plenty of negotiation to go. And Ray Madoff, you've said that there are three simple steps that lawmakers can take to save charities as they continue to negotiate. What can they do?
The first thing they could do would be to make the charitable deduction available for all taxpayers, regardless of whether they itemize. The second issue has to do with the Johnson Amendment, and I think that the best thing for charities and the things that charities want for themselves is to be able to focus on their charitable mission and not be pulled into politics. Therefore, the Johnson Amendment should be kept in its current form. The third issue has to do with the rise of donor-advised funds. This is something that is not covered in the current tax bill, but should be. It was covered in prior tax bills. In order for charities to be able to do their work, they need to have control over their charitable donations. What's happened in recent years is that a new form of charity has been popularized by the financial services industry. These are donor-advised funds, which are essentially accounts where donors get the charitable deduction for donating their money, but are still given ongoing control over the donated funds. Fidelity Charitable is the largest purveyor of donor-advised funds and has become the largest charity in the country. The problem is that there is no legal requirement that money ever come out of the donor-advised funds, so they can sit in those funds for decades or even longer. All the while, they have been given the tax benefits, but the charities are not given access to the funds. So Congress should enact a rule that requires that contributions to a donor advised fund be paid out within a reasonable period of time. Something like 10 years would be reasonable.
So that it's not just a glorified tax shelter.
Absolutely. You don't want tax-benefited dollars sitting in accounts not being available for charities to use in their missions.
Well, Ray Madoff, it's not easy to tell exactly when the tax bill will be finished, when the president might sign it, but it sounds like philanthropies and charities around the country are pretty nervous.
They're very nervous, and they should be because, unfortunately, the current tax proposals are really going to harm them in significant ways.
Ray Madoff, director of the Forum on Philanthropy and the Public Good at Boston College. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.